CDC comes out and says there's actually only 9,000 or whatever cases, almost 10,000, that were directly COVID deaths, do you think the liberal news is going to report this part? You think they're going to stop driving the fear narrative? They're not going to do it, are they? No, they're not. So, anyways.
We lose 30 to 60,000 a year due to normal flu. We lose 10 and shut down the world. It's crazy.
That's right. So, something's very wrong with this whole thing. Now, if you don't discern that, I mean, there is a lack of discerning spirit today in the church, I'm noticing. One of my buddies, and I won't, well, you don't know him. He's in Wisconsin, okay? He's in Wisconsin. They've got five guys on staff, 2,500 people. And one of the pastors is against the lead pastor, and guess what's going to happen to that church? They're going to split over COVID. That's just a work of the devil, I can tell you that. And when you don't respond right to crises in life, you know, you can let the devil use you, someone else's issue to try to destroy you. And you can't do that. More than ever, you need to acknowledge your weakness, depend on the Lord, and go forward. Let me say that again. If the devil can use somebody else's weakness to destroy your faith, he'll do it. He doesn't care what angle he has. You know, when a snake moves, he doesn't care what angle he strikes you. But this is a time where we acknowledge our own weakness, we don't depend on our own strength, and we let God carry us through. And that's when a lot of maturity in Christ actually takes place in times like these. All right, let's pray first of all. Father, we thank you so much for your loving kindness to us through Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Father, that we're in your hands. You're the absolute ruler of our lives, which we refer to as sovereignty. You're the absolute ruler. And not only are you the absolute ruler in our lives, but everybody's lives in the entire world. Lord, I pray that we would be faithful to you, to look to you, to be guided and directed by the word of faith and not lean to our own understanding. May we reflect your character, Christ, with holy boldness, not with an attitude of superiority or false humility, but just a simple reliance on Jesus Christ, almighty strength. It's in your name we ask these things, Lord Jesus. Amen. So I want you to pray for that church, if you will, those two churches. One of them is Lighthouse Baptist Church. The other one's also an independent Baptist church. I won't mention the name because it's a friend of my brother's, and he didn't want me to mention the name. Two churches there having trouble over COVID. Let's go back to the word tonight. A glorious truth is our Bible study tonight. And I only printed out this part of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2 because it talks about the gospel. But I'm just going to apply the part where by the word preached did not profit them, but being mixed with faith in them that heard it. It wasn't mixed with faith. Now everyone look up if you will. I'll read the opening paragraph in just a minute. Our lives aren't little squares. A little square here, your life's here, your life's here, your life's here, like little blocks. No, they're actually intertwined like this. So that our decisions affect the rest part of our lives and other people's lives. So that's very important to remember. Now let's read our opening paragraph then. Believers have the precious promises of God to rely upon as our resource of hope, security, and joy. If you get off that, you're cooked. It's the Lord and His promises is what we got to rely on. But if we don't access the promises of God by faith, we're no better than those who don't know the promises of God. A man who, I think Mark Twain said this, I don't agree with everything he's done or did, but I will say, you know, Huckleberry Finn, a few other things, some of those, let's move on. But let's just say that he made one statement. A man who can't read is no better than a man who won't read. hey, we've got a Bible and we can read, we're great advantage. He was speaking of like a blind man, you know, guy can't read, and yet you can read but won't, you don't have any advantage over him because you're not reading. And, you know, in business school, they told us the readers are the leaders. So if you want to be leading someone properly, you got to be reading the Word of God. I'm going to take that right out of the business world. If you really want to be the leader God wants you to be, and everybody's a leader in here because that means we're influencing other people, that's leadership, then you want to be reading the Word of God. So the readers are the leaders. Now, if all you're reading is the highlights on CNN, you're going to start leading people that way. Do you understand how important that is? Okay. I don't trust the thing. My dad, he would say, I don't know if you guys use that up here or not. I don't trust so-and-so no farther than I can throw them. You remember that? That's not very far. And here's another one. I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole. Staying far away. Oh, well.
I thought it was 6 foot.
Yeah, 6 foot. I wouldn't touch it with a 6-foot pole. That helps the satellite. That's why you have to have 6 feet for facial recognition. If you get it too close, it might get blurred. That's why you need 6 feet. 5G, that's their 5G. But let's go on. God saved us. God saved it. I can just go on with the conspiracy theories all night long if you want. But when someone writes that their plan is to take over the world by means of socialism, that's not a theory. That's what they plan to do. Agenda 21. So we really need to be walking by faith in this time. By the way, is the one world government coming?
Yes.
There's a building block for your faith. It is coming. When will it happen?
After
the rapture of the church. Before the baby comes, there's what? Birth pains. So the fact that it's trying to form now is no surprise. I bet I'm almost getting ready to get my Sunday message. I gotta crank her down, okay. How about one little snippet? Can we just give one little, you know, it's already burning in me. One little snippet. What they've found as far as where the new temple will be built, think about this. Oh. John has already told to measure out the new temple in Jerusalem. It's already measured, but it's not built yet. Record the measurement of it. That's powerful. Yes or no? So anyways, the guy's doing the research about where this would actually be. It's about 100 yards from where the Muslim mosque is right now, so that mosque doesn't even need to be touched. Another fact, don't build the outward court. How many of you know that's in the Bible? If you read ahead, you know what's coming anyway. Don't worry about building the outer court in the new temple. The Gentiles are going to possess it, a.k.a. Muslims. So that's coming. So what is there hindering the new temple being built? What can this coexist come together on the bumper sticker, right? Yes or no? Easy. Silver-tongued Antichrist, we'll just build a temple 100 yards from the mosque. We don't need the outer court. Maintain the peace, if you will, and that temple can go right up. Well, that's kind of exciting to me, actually. And it was exciting when Isaiah said, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth the son. And it was 700 years until it happened. That was exciting news. Now we're looking back at it 2,000 years, right? When God says something, and he told John to write it down, and he's telling him the exact measurements of it, guess what's going to happen? It's going to be built exactly to the measurement that he told John. All God's people say, Amen. That's exciting. So that's faith. Now, I just allowed you to have a mixture of your faith with the truth. How you doing? Are you mixing your faith with the truth or, don't know. But that's the truth. Showed the truth tonight. So in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 4, one of the reasons God saved us to reveal His glory as God through us. He didn't save us just to give us a better life. He didn't save us to improve our health. Some people don't get improved health when they get saved. Are you aware of that? They go ahead and die anyways. Some people don't get the highest house on the mountain when they get saved. Some people go bankrupt after they get saved. Some people's health decline. Some people's finances decline. Some people are kicked out of their family, like a boy we had live with us, young fellas, 17, almost 18 at the time. Parents kicked him out of the house because he trusted Christ. They were Jewish people. They repented later, but, you know, after like 3 years, they wanted to see their son. And so, you know, things can happen negatively in the eyes of the world if you follow Christ. But here's the issue. Is He the true God in human flesh? Then that's the issue. And like you told Habakkuk, you know, sometimes the rain doesn't come, the crops aren't going to grow, there's no animals left in the stalls, and yet I can rejoice in the God of my salvation, because that's where my joy is. That's Habakkuk. I don't want that test. Do you want that test? I got enough tests. I'm not borrowing any tests. I'm not trying to create any tests. I just want to be faithful with the ones God gives me, because He will carry us through. That's faith. Faith depends on the promises of God. That's what it means to mix your faith with the Word of God. It depends on the promises of God. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Is that a promise? Yes, it is. It is a promise. But what is the condition? Seek ye first the advancement of the kingdom of God and His righteousness, which means being like Christ, then I'll add these things to you. So just don't pull one promise out and trim off all the other stuff connected to it and say, well, you know, God didn't do what He said He's going to do. Well, did you do what God told you to do first? And if you did, He'll keep His word. Those conditional promises. How about this one? He that hath the Son hath life. Is that a promise? Is that based on your performance of, you know, good offering or church attendance or something like that? Is that based on any of that? It's not based on any of that. So that's an unconditional promise. Okay? So just letting you know. So now back to 2 Peter, 1, 3 through 4. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him, that's how we access the life of God and His likeness, godliness, that called us to glory and virtue. So if I were to call Gregory, come here, that's a call. And when Jesus called Gregory to salvation, He said, come. Gregory said yes, and he started moving toward God. And that's what the call is here. It's a move toward the likeness of Jesus Christ in our life. God's not going to stop doing that. He's not going to stop drawing you. He's going to continue to draw you to Himself until the day He comes and then perfection is reached. So God's not going to give up on you. So where this glory here, we'll look at it in just a minute. We're called to glory and virtue. So you might want to circle those two things there, glory and virtue. We'll look at those in a minute. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partaker or fellowship or share in what? The divine nature. Before you trusted Christ as your Savior, whose nature were you fellowshipping, partaking with? Satan's nature. The fallen nature is the access of Satan in our life, our flesh, the resident enemy within. So we're given these exceeding precious promises to walk by faith, to be a partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And by the way, is there a lot of corruption in the world through lust?
Yes.
Oh, Oh, yes. A lot of corruption going on. Glory is the effulgence. No, it's not. Effulgence. Glory is an effulgence that's an outward expression and overflow. You know, overflow of a cup. My cup runneth over. That's glory in action. The outward expression or overflow of God's inward being as God. This is God coming through you. You say, well, this just sounds too good to be true. Well, is Jesus dying on the cross for you too good to be true too in your flesh? It sure is, but it's still true, isn't it? So if that's true, you can bet this is true too. Christ in you, coming through you, is the glory of God in you. Let's go on. There's no one like God. He is holy, which means unique, in that he is three persons in one being, Father, Son, and Spirit. He cannot share his glory as God with anyone else. There's no sharing in that circle. But he shares his holy character with us to draw from and grow in by grace. In this sense, it is in this sense that we are to be holy, for God is holy, and partake of his divine nature. Desiring that the glory of God be seen in our life is called virtue. I meant to put that in bold italic letters as well. Virtue, so you have glory and virtue. Virtue is moral uprightness or excellence in character. If Christ is coming through you, excellence is coming through you. It is here that we escape in practice that which we have been released from in position, namely the corruption of sinful lusts. So the nature of God is stronger than the nature of Satan, to put it that way. The nature of God in us is stronger than our lust of our flesh. It's stronger. If we will yield to the Spirit of God, we will not fulfill the lust of our flesh, Galatians 5:16. So the choice is ours. Every day we get up, all right, am I going to walk in the Spirit today or in the flesh? I make this decision before I even get out of the bed. How many of you are attacked in your mind before you even put one foot on the floor? The devil, he just doesn't give up. Sometimes I'm attacked before my foot even hits the floor. What is this? What is this? You know it's a bad day when you wake up and say, those cursed birds woke me up. Wait a minute. The birds are supposed to remind us that God will feed us, Matthew chapter 6. Remember the Lord said, look at them. Who's taking care of them? Look at the lilies of the field. Aren't they beautiful? Who do you think is taking care of them? The answer is God is. If he cares so much more for you than them, you'll know that he will take care of you too. And that's beautiful. So the most excellent thing you could ever achieve in your life is a likeness to Jesus Christ. And we'll read that a little bit slower because I want us to meditate on that. The most excellent thing you could ever achieve in your life is a likeness to Jesus Christ. You know how somebody on occasion cuts something out over words or somebody or a picture of somebody and stick it up on the mirror? You know, I'm laughing because... My brother David, he's like, you know, he gained like 30 or 40 pounds more than where he wanted to be, you know, and he said, I am so sick of this. He took a picture of Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, when he was all buffed up and everything, and he cut Arnold Schwarzenegger's head off and stuck his face in it. And he stuck it up on the mirror and he said, better things to come. How many of you think that's just a little funny, huh? All right, I think that's funny. I was in there painting his bathroom like, what is this? It was just so funny to me. Yeah, he slid down. He did pretty well, actually. He said, then he tried to apply some Bible verse. without a vision, you know, the people perish. So that's okay. That's okay. I mean, if you need that, a little bit of motivation there, maybe I'll cut out one too. I don't know. Maybe I'll try that. But anyway. What if you cut these words out and put them up on your mirror? And every day you're there getting ready and everything. Laurie did this with regard to our girls, you know, and they're getting ready in the bathroom. And the guys usually use a downstairs bathroom, you know. And put up there, beauty's vain, but a woman that, you know, loves the Lord, she shall be praised. Virtue is much more important than looks. Right up there on the side of the mirror. So when the girls are getting ready, you know, they're looking at it, and same thing for her too. Remember that. We want to know what's in them more than we want to know what's on the outside, right? Yes or no? True. So, and I think probably it'd be a great thing if we just remember that every day. The greatest prize I could ever attain, the highest thing I could ever do, is to become like Jesus Christ. That's the highest goal I could ever reach. That's true for you too. The most excellent thing you could ever achieve in your life is a likeness to Jesus Christ. Meditate on that glorious truth and live for that highest prize. You will be tested. Let Jesus come through. All God's people say, amen. All right.